ये भी चांसा खुरानी टिकटिंग वाले चेंवंदुदा रंग के चेंजी के बाम माइंबा ना दो ताने या गेम उन्हें चांसा खुरानी टिकटिंग वाले चेंवंदुदा रंग के चेंजी के खुबा चेंबु काने तंदा लंगा तमा सुन रंग के चेंजी के बाप बुलाने यों है हाँ जंगल में तंगो लचिंबे दुखिया था घर रहते जो तो सेम जाने लोला
他给随便吧你妈，俺们去和你一趟。哈哈哈哈哈！我这，他给干的是那全当把儿油巴当，全当都油巴当，咱给天气出吧你们的鸡巴随便你妈。哪里？天气就是他，他也给滚蛋，咱给天气没干了吧？他都干了吧？他让给天气出干，没出干，他让给天气出吧？人送那，全都给送送啊！
去过了铁里，你那要滚到全塘边儿没把过了，他那个天没嘛住吧？人家全塘边儿没熟了嘛。天就在全塘边儿没把了，要把人把撞到回去，也给你们踢掉了。像我这几天拿了铁枪去啊，咱们那么东搞，前面，让给天有把当全塘边儿有把你几把枪用的，你几把枪用的啥？滚大一顶住，全塘边儿有把人送了呀，人家就落地撞到了，走过不住。
他希望他用这个你没得，让给钱你去铺吧，银包块了，拿住个钱算了，工地兵是他个样个，阿妈的，嗯，看他样个几张钱，他样个钱的拿了，希望了先用就是呢，他们不是有别样，他不我不拿，就他们不是这个钱的嘛的嘛，都让给钱你出去，钱要嘛的，咋的呢？那等我那么多我们钱的多些呢？
全他们的月把单，让给钱一百，你几百银吧？哎，那他希望他用这个你顶多，嗯，让给钱，上次拿了个钱，他没给咱们要嘛的，他怎么那么多钱的？希望他用这个你顶多，让给钱一百，对吧？他结婚你了，再当就没得了，当就没得些，用他用的用着他就下得亏。
哪里哪里？
就是如果当你的没，当你那见面都是的，见面都，希望他用这个你没得。 他全他们的油钱我说吧，他全他们的油钱我给你，嗯，快点，让给钱你出钱我说吧，他出钱我给你，这是让给钱你马住皮子，等于说呢，关键不让说过话的，什么那么多话个钱，他几百了，多钱，亏你们几百，让他们油把他让给钱油把你们几百银子，俺们进了这干这些活都，现在这个拿了钱，他干这你们的，这个拿了就全给俺们了，他叫我那么多么多，他就不要活都，今年咱到我们就开发的，说不给你。
So here we go. We're on page now. We're up to page 38, line 5, where Jetsakapa is summarizing what Arya Sangha is saying when he describes what it is to overrate something and underrate something, okay, or discount something. So he says, Dedochena means therefore, when we say that any state of mind which says that constructs exist ultimately, right, then that would be what we call overrating or attributing existence where there is no existence, okay? And then the opposite of that, which would be with regard to the other two groups, which are changing things, and emptiness itself, which are things which are actually are, do exist by definition, am I right? To say that those things don't exist by definition would be kunda, or underrating something. So overrating is to take the constructs and say that they do exist by definition. Underrating would be to take the other two groups, changing things and emptiness itself, and claim that it didn't have, sorry, that it didn't exist by definition. Which Jetsakapa says, even though the wording is a little bit different, existing by definition and existing ultimately are the same thing, and not existing by definition and not existing ultimately are the same thing. And then Geshe-la, I went back to page 37. In the first few lines, and they're explaining what it means to overrate something or to see something when something's not there. And even though they don't use the word ultimate there, and they're more flirting with words like exist by definition, he says, on page 38, he says, therefore, in the mind-only school, we can describe overrating as taking that thing which doesn't exist ultimately and saying it does exist ultimately in an ultimate way, and we can take those other two groups that do exist ultimately and then putting them down and saying that they don't exist ultimately is the other extreme. So therefore, Jetson Coppola very succinctly describes the extremes in terms of existing or not existing ultimately and misinterpreting or misidentifying things as whether they exist ultimately or not. And that's basically where he's gone. Now he's going to talk a little bit about the difference between ultimate and deceptive. You guys have had the idea of deceptive as opposed to ultimate, like reality, right? And now we'll go ahead and we'll have a little bit, we'll get into this new thing about deceptive reality, or what is the difference between ultimate and deceptive. Oh, and that reminds me, speaking of ultimate, you know, I think we have a little bit of debate left over with you two guys. It probably relates to that idea about changing things and emptiness itself over here and try to decide whether or not they exist ultimately, right? Because you had something about the emptiness thing existing ultimately and not existing ultimately. So let's go from there. I'm not sure if he's going to go back to that enough, but he says, I remember we had some argument to finish about that.
You
didn't quite decide, did you?
我天天的，他叫那的，这个当个什么好活的？他在中国那么东国，什么下面的生意主要了吧？不，这个讲的这个人，他亲自的了，他过了亲，可能也给讲的这个了，想要做就的，一点送多是也给他了。滚到让给天气热些，让给天气热些，吃点热的，啥？知道吧？嗯，也那多吧？嗯，自己在中国，在那，甚至说的也给，年龄一把在那，让给天，在那多，自己打给我，天气热的，我过来滚到家一把。
So Geshe-la points out that on page 37 in the first couple of lines, we did not have any, remember they were talking about the nature of the words which are used for the labeling or something like that, and we, after much discussion, we figured out that they are talking about constructs. Which is the construction and not really the constructing words, and we decided to reinterpret those words, constructing words, as meaning construction. And then we got into the next line, line 2 on page 37, Arya Sangha describes them as, if you took something which did not exist definitively and described it as existing definitively, then you would have the problem of dondo, or attributing some existence where there is no existence. So, Jetson Kapa and Geshe-la point out that Arya Sangha doesn't actually use directly the word by definition or definitively, okay? And rather, Jetson Kapa says, we'll plug in here the word ultimately or not existing ultimately. Same thing, though. Boils down to the same thing. Then when they get on the description of what it is to underrate something, to say something which actually is there, is not there, don't forget on page 37, line 4, we were starting to discuss shenwangs, right? Changing things in terms of several descriptions. One was that it was, for example, the basis which got the label, right? The basis for the labeling process or the construction process. And then we said that shenwangs or dependent things had their own nature of being beyond expression. And we went into the meaning of beyond expression. Then we got into something that said, where he described them as those functioning things which exist absolutely, perfectly, ultimately. Okay, ultimately. So, to take things like shenwangs, changing things, which do exist ultimately, and then to say, no, no, they don't exist ultimately, which is what who says? Might be the prophet Gika, right? Which is what they say. People come along and say that, they don't exist ultimately, about things which do exist ultimately, then they are incurring the second fault. You know, they are holding to the second extreme, which is to say something isn't there when it really is there. Now, Gesam Kapa in the middle of page 38 is saying, now in the second case, they haven't used the wording by definition, existing by definition. They've used the wording existing ultimately. So see the difference? When you're talking about attributing existence where there is no existence, they talked about things which didn't exist by definition and saying they do exist by definition. And then when they got to denying existence which really was there, they talked about things that didn't, which did exist ultimately, and you saying they didn't exist ultimately. So in one case you're using, to describe the process of attributing something when there is nothing, you're using the wording by definition. When you're denying the existence of something which really is there, you're saying ultimately. Gentle Kappa just wants to point out that these two descriptive words are the same. You might as well say the same thing. It doesn't matter which wording you use. They both amount to the same thing.
Page 37, line 5, when
they were reporting the actual wording of the Bodhisattva Bhumi. In there they say, that which is beyond expression, that which exists in an ultimate way, that which is perfectly existing in an ultimate way. And then they said, lopo, meaning functional thing, right? Which refers to shenwa, changing thing, thing which is caused, produced thing, functional thing, all the same, right? So it's interesting here that they don't mention yongdu, right? They don't mention emptiness. You know, they're talking about schools of thought in which you deny the existence of something with something which really is there. What are they denying here? They're denying that shenwang, functional thing, exists by definition, right? Or exists here, they say, not so much by definition, they say ultimately. Okay, there, when you deny that these things exist ultimately, when they really do exist ultimately, you're incurring the fault of saying something's not there when it really is there. Okay, but nowhere in this actual quotation, right, does Arya Sangha actually mention that ultimate thing, that emptiness itself does not exist ultimately, or that some people, meaning the prophet Jesus, think that it doesn't exist ultimately. So what's happening here? He's talking about the process of the Prasangika refusing something which really is there with regard to functional things or changing things, shenwa. Nowhere here does Arya Sangha say they deny that with regard to emptiness, which should have been in here, right? It doesn't come here, right? Because they do deny that. They do say emptiness itself doesn't exist ultimately, right? But he says, because we know, because everybody knows that those two groups hang together, shenwang and yongdu, changing things and emptiness itself, everybody knows they do hang together. So when some group like the Prasangika has come along and attacking the mind only and saying, one of those two partners doesn't exist by definition or doesn't exist ultimately, which is kunda, right, which is refusing something which was really there, then they must be saying it about yongdu ba. They must be saying it about emptiness. And
Tambo Kundo Tang, Sidida, called Tendam to make him for a lot. Oh, Tambo Kundo.
Shiny turn tumble, you be chiro, the shiny with it, Shawan Dang, you have to be chiro. What is Shantara? Shiny turn tumble, you be chiro, so what? That's a Shawan, you have to be with it. Shawan, you have to be with it. Turn tumble, took to us, Suna, turn tumble, took him for love, turn tumble, you are married to Matubari, you know, when you talk to them with
it. So now Jetokapa goes on line 7, at the end of line 7 on page 38, and he says, the first one is deceptive, and the other two exist ultimately, okay? The first one being deceptive means constructs don't exist ultimately. That's what he means when he says the first one is deceptive. And then he goes on to say the other two do exist ultimately, which means referring to changing things and to emptiness itself. And when you discount something with regard to the latter two, what you're saying is the opposite. You're saying they don't exist ultimately. Actually, they do exist ultimately. Actually, they do exist by definition. And when you go ahead and say they don't exist by definition or they don't exist ultimately, that's what it means to put them down or to discount something about them, which is actually there, and you say it's not there.
Do you want? What? How do you deliver this?
So I want you to think about it and I want you to answer me, okay? Now we've had for the first time a distinction between deceptive and ultimate. You know, somebody has said, the first is that one is deceptive and that's our ultimate. How many categories within each of those two, deceptive and ultimate, would you posit? If I came up to you and said, you know, what do we put in the deceptive category, where do we put in the ultimate category, what would you say? What would be a natural reaction? In this context. I don't want other context. Is this a communal statement or is this one? You two years.
What do you think? Yes.
What do you
think?
Yes. Are you agreeing with her?
I'm just kidding.
That day in the sunset, here on the Zata, going to see a quadam. Tagi again.
You have to now learn that there's a, you know, I've told you before that you have to make a distinction between ultimate and ultimate reality, the ultimate things and ultimate reality. And now you have to make a corresponding distinction between deceptive and deceptive reality, okay, things which are deceptive and deceptive reality.
Which one? What's okay?
He's trying to remember what Elizabeth said when he asked, what is that thing which exists ultimately, but which is not ultimate truth? And what was it you posited? I think it was you, Elizabeth, that deposited something. It is ultimate, but it's not ultimate reality.
Tendam do yola, tendam demba, maingen kola.
Something which was ultimate, but which was not ultimate reality. Seems to me you said totality or emptiness. I think it was a different example.
He said that not every unchanging thing is an example of something that doesn't have an existence by definition because there is emptiness.
Somebody over here said unchanging things.
Right. And Winston
disagrees.
Then
Okay, so you
were saying, he said, unchanging things are an example of something which is ultimately existing but not ultimately true.
No.
Ultimately existing but not anything true.
Sure?
No, I think it's... gave an example of something that didn't exist by
definition.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist by
definition,
but it exists ultimately.
Then dam to yukin, rakitini ki ma dukin, spela,
taka chishan. Let's go, you
give us your whole logical statement. Here's an example of something that's
I'm pretty sure because the shoes.
Okay, he asked for something that was an example of a thing that did not exist by definition. And someone said Dakpa.
Yeah.
And I said, and I was saying, like, not everything is Dakpa. Does not exist by definition. Yonjo does exist by definition.
Shows Chenoa, Nikola, Tapa Churches, Mariore, Ne, Tapa Mares, and you can't say, Kaisa, Yondu, Yore, Tapa, Nanolia, Yondu,
Okay, I'm
all confused about what we're arguing about this morning. Anyway, let's go back to the beginning. Something which exists ultimately, but something which is not ultimate reality. Let's do a bit of a converse, okay? Let's do a switch here. Find me something which is deceptive reality and which does not exist deceptively. Okay, we're going to get to the guts of this. Do you think it is part of Kuntok Dhamma or not?
You're
right on both regards. Now, why can we say that changing things or created things do belong to deceptive reality? Very simple. They don't make it into the group of things that belong to ultimate reality. Why? Only young groups do. Okay? So only emptiness gets to be in the category called ultimate reality. Therefore, by, what do you call it? By default, it makes it into the category called things which exist, things which are deceptive reality. Now, on the other hand, does it exist deceptively? Is it a thing which exists deceptively? No, it is not. Why? Hey, go to the text, line 7, end of the line. It says, first one is deceptive and the other two are exist ultimately. You don't have to figure it out, you can go straight to the text here. It says only the first one exists deceptively. What is the first one? Kunta, construct, okay? So therefore, you don't have to think about it much, you go quote Jonathan Kotler. He said only the first and three groups exist deceptively. Kunta. So Shenwangs must not exist deceptively, they must exist ultimately. Right on both counts.
What is it? Can't you forget two kin at the
都是起家的,全当都有了,全当的妈妈应该我的想法,想法。他工作点吧,应该,工作全当地,他都是工作的那个,他想法想法。So if you think about it, Shenwangs or changing things, make it into both categories, right? They are the thing which is not ultimate reality, but which does exist ultimately, and they are the thing which is deceptive reality, but doesn't exist deceptively. So they make it into both. Yeah, it's
kind of
cool. Okay. Here's a but. Oh, by the way, he kept saying deceptive reality as defined in this context. Deceptive as described in this context.
He kept saying deceptive reality as defined in this context.
Time to make another star next to your notes, okay? We just got to a point here that said Shenwangs, or changing things, do not exist, are not deceptive. They do not exist as something deceptive, okay? By the way, I'm not talking about deceptive reality, okay? Forget that. Put that aside for now, okay? I'm not talking about deceptive reality. They are deceptive reality. They are a kind of deceptive reality. They are an example of deceptive reality. Well, now, right here we just got finished saying they don't exist deceptively. I'm sorry. They don't exist deceptively. Okay? They don't exist deceptively. Now, later on in the text, later on down here, somebody's going to come along and start talking about some kind of deceptive existence that they do have. Okay? Somebody else is going to come along and start talking about a deceptive sort of existence that does apply to changing things or causing. So put a mark here. Don't forget, remember where we said here, they don't have any nature of being and then later on we're going to get something else coming up where it talks about some kind of deceptiveness that they do have. I know two of you are taking off for Russia before our next class probably. So, I know it doesn't much do my good to make a mark here, but there won't be anybody to look at the mark later. Anyway. Make a mark anyway.
Watch a minute. I'm not going to do it.
Talk with their tongue, the corporate thing out of the door, or the door, 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 the Now the next line, this is eighth line down on page 38. This is kind of cool. So Jetsun Kapa says, you know, when you talk about the act of refusing something that really does exist, right? What do we call it? Discounting something, right? Discounting something which really is there. What did we discuss discounting about? You know, what was it that we used as the basis of the discounting? It was Shenwan things. It was things that had causes, things that came, that were produced. And what did we say about it? Those things actually do exist ultimately, and that state of mind says they don't exist ultimately. Okay, so keep that in your mind. When you're talking about discounting, you're looking at changing things, which really do exist ultimately, and you're saying about them, they don't exist ultimately. Now, Jetsun Kapa says, wheel around 180 degrees and shoot your arrow. That's what the word detang means, okay? You know, you've been aiming here and shooting here, and then just close your eyes and whip around 180 degrees and let go of your arrow, you know? Shoot the other one. What is the opposite? What is the direct opposite of that? It would now be to take a different basis, which is constructs, okay? Kunta, which really don't exist ultimately. And then if you do say they do exist ultimately, then you've got the 180 degree opposite state of mind, which is that which sees something where there is nothing. Okay? Dondok. So he says, you want to know what dondok is? Kundap is aimed at these objects and thinks that these things don't exist about them. And then dondok, flip around 180 degrees, thinks about its brother group, which is constructs, is the opposite. That there isn't something about them, there is something about them which isn't there. Okay? And that's how you can think about these two extremes. These two ways of holding to two extremes. When I was describing it in terms of an arrow, there's an expression here that says deitang, okay? That da is not the word for arrow. It's exactly the same pronunciation, okay, a prenasal da, third column, right? But I'm not implying that that's the word for arrow, okay? That's an expression meaning to do a 180 degree turn. And I don't want you to think that I meant that this other spelling meant error. It's simply an expression for a 180 degree turn or direct opposition or direct flip flop. Okay, that's just an expression for me.
The
meaning of the words from sixth line up from the bottom on page 38, when they say gabdir means at this point in the text or in this particular context, they are referring to the bodhisattva levels of Arya Sangha. So in the bodhisattva levels of Arya Sangha, when Arya Sangha is describing the state of mind of which attributes something existence when there is no existence there, right? He's talking about constructs, and he's talking about the state of mind that says about a construct which in reality does not exist by definition, the state of mind that attributes existing by definition to something which does not actually exist in definition. Now in that particular wording, in that particular section of Arya Sangha's text, he has not said to take something like constructs which don't exist ultimately, and to think they exist ultimately. He hasn't used that wording. But we all know that it boils down to the same thing, says Jetsun Kapa. Once you've said about something that it exists by definition, in this school at least, you must also be saying that it exists ultimately. So, you know, it's not incorrect to describe that state of mind as looking at constructs which do not exist ultimately and saying they don't exist ultimately, okay? I'm sorry. Looking at constructs which don't exist ultimately and saying they do exist ultimately, is that describing that state of mind in that way, rather than describing it with the words that are actually used in the text of the Bodhisattva Mahamudra, wherein it says only to take something which does exist by definition and to think it does exist by definition, okay? Looks like you had some kind of issue there, and if you want to raise it, but we'll get to it later. Now you can take the same wording, the exact same wording, starting with Kapha Dhira, six lines from the bottom of 38, wherein Jetsun Kapha was trying to explain that if you held something to exist by definition that didn't exist by definition, you are necessarily holding that it exists ultimately when it doesn't exist ultimately, right? Now just take that same wording, says Geshe-la, take out all of those adjectives and stuff, and you can reverse it to fit the other one, you see? You can say, in this case, when Arya Sangha says the discounting state of mind is focusing on now instead of Kuntak Shenwang, right? So now you've got all these substitutions. You're saying, just go around and substitute. Instead of saying the overrating state of mind, say the discounting state of mind, when you describe it as something which looks upon something which is actually existing ultimately, instead of saying didn't exist ultimately, right? And it holds it to be ultimate. I'm sorry, it holds it not to be ultimate, where you would have said holds it to be ultimate before. It's no problem that we don't use the corresponding phrase exists by definition instead of and existing by definition, because once you hold something to not to be existing ultimately, you are already holding it not to be existing by definition. So that was a whole reverse, a total reverse. You just plug in those words and just do substitution there. it's not that Jetsun Kapha says that directly, that you could play a substitution game here and it will all come out very cool. This is my own idea. It's not that Jetsun Kapha said it, and it's not that I've discovered something about the text that Jetsun Kapha didn't know about the text. Okay.
他们那当的强盛拿了滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大滚大
So Jetakapa next goes into the question, you know, why, when Aryasanga describes the overrating state of mind, he uses the language, takes something which doesn't exist by definition and sees it to exist by definition, and then when he gets to the opposite state of mind, which is attributing some existence where there is no existence, he says, something which doesn't exist, I'm sorry, something which does exist ultimately, doesn't exist ultimately, right? Which is discounting, right? When he gets to the discounting mind, he uses the word ultimately or not ultimately, right? Takes something which does exist ultimately and says it doesn't exist ultimately, right? Why does he use synonymous terms in this with the overrating state of mind? He uses exists by definition or doesn't exist by definition. With the underrating state of mind, discounting state of mind, he uses does exist ultimately, doesn't exist ultimately. Why didn't he just use the same word? You know, why didn't he either use all exist ultimately, doesn't exist ultimately? Or why didn't he just use and with everything does exist in a definitive way or doesn't exist by definition? See what I mean? Why does he use two different words? One kind of wording all with this word, state of mind, and the other set of words is this state of mind. Why? He wants you to know they're equivalent. You see? He wants you to know that you could have taken all these words over and put them over here. He's trying to, Jetsu Kapa is telling you, Arya Sangha has another, what do you call it? Arya Sangha has another agenda here. There's a hidden agenda here. He's trying to get you to appreciate the fact that existing by definition and existing ultimately are the same thing. And that you could have switched them freely. Okay, you could have substituted those words for each other. And that not existing by definition and not existing ultimately are exactly the same thing. Also, this is like a hidden agenda of Arya Sangha in these quotations, that he's trying to get you to ask yourself, now why did Arya Sangha didn't use that word over there, and he did use it over there, and he used this word over there, and he didn't use that word? He wants you to come to a sensitivity or a realization, he could have used either one. They mean the same thing. So in a way, you know, we've used When Geshe-la says two expressions to get the four meanings, what he means is, over on this side, when you say doesn't exist by definition, you are meant to understand over on this side doesn't exist ultimately. When they say on this side doesn't exist ultimately or something, you are meant to understand over on this side it has an implied meaning that does exist by definition. So just with two sets of phrases, you get each one implies the other, you get a total of four. So out of two sets of phrases, you get four different meanings.
I didn't think it. 타겐 쉬울라시 군대부지 고토스 대원수 소에 군대부 대쉬울 또 된지 빵도 고지 고토가서 인데 당에 사람들 나는 찍는지 대원수 찍다 방에 된지 찍니 그런 거 찍다 이 된지 되지 시소로 자기도 나 대체면서 가 지나인 거 아니네
I get 4 out of 2 again by saying that you know, lots of churches thinking maybe 4 come down to 2, but I think 2 come down to 4. You got directly stated over here overrating using certain language, which to me implies an implied underrating over here with the same language, and then you've got the reverse. You've got over here an underrating using another set of words, then relating to an overrating over here with the same set of words. So with two explicit expressions, you've got four implicit and explicit expressions. For me, it's two lead to four.
Oh,
it could be 4, 5, 6, 100, who knows?
Oh, the sick. Oh, the sun that turned up your brother, don't do it. So that didn't mind. You want to see some of my things and turn up your machine. That's it. That's it. That's it. Dinny is soon to stop eating when you couldn't see me come near that. On the left, couldn't have been sitting in there. This is your summer. Oh, the shepherd to talk to see you on a song there.
You are giving me power tonight.
What do you say?
When they talked about underrain, right, saying something's not there when it is there, they only said it directly with regard to changing things or dependent things, right? They didn't say it directly with regard to emptiness or what we call totality. But in these lines here it said, the first one is deceptive and the second two are ultimate. So there they do mention them both together as being ultimate. So Jesse Kappa says, now how do I jump from one to the other? Okay? You may be asking yourself, okay? They didn't mention directly with the state of mind which underrates something that it does so with regard to emptiness itself. Back here, it did talk about the first one relates to deceptiveness, and the second relates to ultimate, right? So the second two relate to ultimate. So we're going to go there and explain how Jesse Kappa made the leap from one to the other.
Okay.
So why is it that the Bodhisattva level, when they talked about the state of mind which is discounting something and saying about dependent things that which actually do exist ultimately, that they don't exist ultimately, then how is it that I, Jesse Kappa, know that he's applying that to emptiness also, okay, to totality also? Well, the case is that if it were true that just like changing things, let's put it this way, if changing things became something that didn't exist ultimately, then emptiness itself also would become something that didn't exist ultimately, because they are linked. Okay. They are the same case. Okay, whatever applies to one applies to the other. Okay, if that according to that state of mind, if that discounting state of mind were true, and if somehow Shenwang changing things became things that didn't exist ultimately, then pop emptiness also would become something that didn't exist ultimately. And that's why I think you just throw them in together, because whatever's true of one is true of the other. So if you're holding if the state of mind that discounts one were true, were correct, then it would automatically be true when it discounted the other. So let's put them together.
Is that okay with
you guys? Got it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You two guys strike me like
kids sometimes.
你幾個嘛,大家,我來的,我打不到,給你,給錢的,當媽媽都叫了我打不到,才給的。你幾班的幹嘛,我寫過來,我叫你幫我,就叫你嘛,現在呢,徹底的,你不你你幾個名字啊?我寫呢,叫了,叫了,但是哎,嘛現在沒錢的,對不對?我打不到。You remind me of kids, because when kids first get some kind of treat or a piece of candy from somebody, they immediately grab it in their mouth and start chewing on it and not missing anything else. But then, if somebody starts talking about some really beautiful story, you know, and they're halfway through their chocolate bar, and they're like, yeah, yeah, and then they catch it, and somebody's saying some really beautiful story about something, and then they're like watching them, and they're thinking them, and they got this half-eaten candy bar in their hand. And you guys are like that. When I get into a nice point or an interesting point, you start staring at me like that, and you stop writing. And I know that you're not taking notes anymore. So, don't be kids, okay? This morning you were like, secretaries, like, counting it out, you know, and like, taking thousands of notes, you two guys. And then this afternoon you're like the kids with the happy kids.
Oh,
Jeto Kapa is not just satisfied with Linian Dan. He doesn't want you to think that he's just making up this thing about whatever they said, whatever somebody refused about changing things, they would automatically be refusing it about emptiness itself, right? That but they would essentially be doing it. If it were true, the changing things could be something that existed by, that didn't exist by definition. It would also have to be true that emptiness didn't exist by definition either. I'm not just throwing that in by myself. I got scriptural authority, okay? Line 5, page 39, the middle of the line, Changsa Le, I mean, in the Bodhisattva levels themselves, in that book by Master Sangha, he himself says, suppose you were going to discount things like anything, starting with physical matter, right? And just by discounting the functional things in that group of all objects, including physical matter, just by discounting the functional things, you would also be discounting ultimate reality or emptiness itself. So he says himself here, right here, if you decided that functional things or changing things were not something that existed by definition, then you would also have to be saying that emptiness itself was not something that existed by definition. If you said that changing things didn't exist ultimately, then you would have to be saying that emptiness itself didn't exist ultimately either. That's a direct quotation from Changsa, Bodhisattva Lama. And that did you couldn't say, go quite the game, Umatanyu, Shakuar. Just Umatanyu, Shiawan, you can't attack your mother's astonishing. Don't you, Amare? Chance and dig up, you couldn't say, oh, Shiawan, you have a lot, never seen you, Chinese, couldn't you see your mother? Not a condo turned up, you have a lot, Mitch Chancin on a fair soon. Meant you have a lot, never seen the soon in the one. Turned up, you have a lot, Mitch, couldn't you come and see, and couldn't you do too much? You can't get Chiang Yare, the movie that you are, send Tanya on the Mace Lavarish, and just won't be on
that. And the intent of the next few lines, which are 8 lines, 8 and 9 lines from the top of page 39, okay? Here it's saying, by the way, in general, we all understand that Kundap, the idea of saying something is not there when it is there, right? Generally, the idea of that state of mind is to take something which does exist and refuse its existence completely. Okay, generally, that's how we describe that state of mind. Now, is it the case that the Madhyamika Prasangika, that the higher half of the Middle Way School, is saying about changing things, shenwang, dependent things, that they don't exist at all? Is that what it means in this case for them to kundap? Is that what it means in this case for them to discount something here? No. We're not saying, us mind-only guys, and the Bodhisattva levels are not saying that, we're not accusing the Madhyamika Prasangika of saying that functional things or changing things don't exist at all, although that's a general description of what the Kundap state of mind is. You know, the Kundap state of mind in general says about something which does exist, it doesn't exist. The point here, though, is not to accuse the mind-only school of saying, oh, look, changing things do exist, and you Madhyamika Prasangika people say that they don't exist. We're not accusing them of that. We're accusing them of saying about something which does exist ultimately that it does not exist ultimately. Okay, that's what we're saying. We're not saying kundap, we're not saying discount in its normal sense of saying that that particular object doesn't exist. We're saying kundap in the sense that they take a particular feature of that object, the fact that it exists ultimately, and then they say that it doesn't exist ultimately. So that's the distinction here. They're not refusing, they don't accuse the Madhyamika Prasangika of saying that Shenwangs don't exist at all. Rather, they are accusing the Madhyamika Prasangika of condemning them in the sense of saying that they don't exist ultimately when they do exist ultimately. That's easy point.
You
know, that we don't have to discuss much. Okay, that's pretty obvious point. So in this context, according, you know, think about it. I want an answer. Okay, who is it that's discounting from? Who's the discounter? Among the four philosophical schools of ancient India, who are the discounters? Answer me, okay? Are they saying, are the mighty Mika Prasangika saying, Shenwang Sun is this
God?
You know, changing things.
Like
when we accuse them of discounting something, what are they discounting? Good. That's all
that these few
sentences
are saying.
Case is closed. Let's move on. I guess that's, you know, we're going to do just like computers. I don't know exactly how computers work, but probably I would guess that as you keep loading in new stuff every time, the old stuff keeps moving up the screen or down the screen or something, you know. So, you know, we kept typing in stuff, we kept having more stuff, and now that's pushing all the old stuff back, and now we're getting to new stuff, you know. I'm a person who has completely no idea about how computer works. But having heard about computers and what happens when you keep typing on them, I'm just giving some examples like that.
Oh yeah. 他你把这个中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中中
we promised to go into a long description of what it meant to discount something and what it meant to overrate something. And we've been through that. Okay? We've been through a detailed discussion of how it is that the mind overrates something. We've been through a detailed discussion of how it is that the mind discounts something. Now, we get into the mind-only school's version of how to avoid those two extremes. Okay? Now we talk about how to eliminate the state of mind that looks at those things in those two extremes and how we arrive at, in the middle there, the mind-only school's idea of what it is for something to be empty.
Panty cutter is an ali don't talk on to sit down, Kundi Pons, me, you are eating really shabby. In the time, don't talk on the Latin and was from Kumi to English, to what in the subject. So, what? It was got it to which is in a tin contact to gather in a tin pond with the ring. Tella, the Tatin is over. Tella, don't talk it, honey. Chu Hala Young. He more than Chapel to Saba. He, that. He, me, him. In the sun, more than Chapa to Tava, more than Chapa to Tava, tea, Sidna, Tashi, Koran, Tashi, Shibi, Tashu, Pijuki, Ranki, Kumi, Tuba, Kuz, what a do to it. Tati, Kuz, Sutan, Bari, Sidna, Tay, Tashi, Koran, Tambar, Tomba, Tamba, Sidna, Tashi, Koran, Tashi, Shibi, Tashu, Pijuki, Ranki, Tay, Tuba, oh.
Okay, so here he's going to say how to avoid those extremes, right? And in the wording at, he says, by the way, beginning from the sixth line of the Bible, says, well, if that's what it is to overrate something, and if that's what it is to discount something, well, then how do I get rid of those two tendencies? You know, how do I avoid those two tendencies? And the answer is, well, let's talk about the extreme of overrating something, okay? The extreme of overrating something. And we're going to discuss that ta, right, that doesn't exist, right? That the object which the overrating state of mind holds to doesn't even exist, right? But here's how we take off in our description of it, okay? Here's a pretty general description of it. There's the fact, here we go, back to Tashi. He says, I hate to keep picking on Tashi, but we got to go back to Tashi, okay? The fact that Tashi is the thing that we call Tashi, okay? The fact that Tashi is the thing that we call Tashi. Now, if that, the fact that that doesn't exist by definition, okay, I'm sorry, let's do it a different way. The fact that Tashi is what's called Tashi, right? Imagine if that did exist by definition, which it doesn't, okay? If that did exist by definition, that existing by definition is gacha, right? The absence of that with regard to Tashi, the fact that Tashi doesn't possess any nature of being a Tashi who is called Tashi by definition, now think about that, okay? Right? This is emptiness, right? The fact that Tashi is not someone about whom we can say, Tashi is the thing we call Tashi, and that exists by definition, okay? The fact that that doesn't apply to him is Tashi's yogi, is Tashi's emptiness. In what sense?
Pumba dembar matu pa kho ten ne ani pai ten du te du bi ko do go go dua su dua si pa chi ta ni ma ki ni ku pe ki ta ma
I'm going to take an illustration. We're going to get crack open the door to the Mighty Buddha school just a bit. Just crack it on a bit. Go in there. Bring out a demonstration. An illustration. Okay? Just an illustration from them. Okay? Go to that middle way door. Come back and say, remember that state of mind that holds things to be truly existent. Think about the state of mind according to Mighty Mika, which holds things to be truly existing. If that mind is state of mind is staring there looking at you, you know, and you want to remove that state of mind, if you want to eliminate that state of mind, all you have to do is take it and say, hey, look here. Things don't exist truly. Okay, show it the fact that things don't exist truly. Then that state of mind which does hold things to exist truly has to stop, has to be cut off, has to be avoided or prevented. Okay, so if you have a state of mind which is holding things as existing truly, and you want to stop it, all you have to do is pull out something and say, look, here's something that doesn't truly exist, and then that state of mind has to disappear. If you can demonstrate that something that doesn't exist truly to the state of mind that thinks that things do exist truly, then that state of mind has to go away.
Okay.
In Mighty Mika, the state of mind that holds a thing to be truly existing is an overrating state of mind. Because it's seen some self-existence, true existence, where there is no truth. Okay? Now we go back to our school, to the mind-only school, and it's looking at something very simply stated, to say it very simply. The construct which doesn't exist does not apply to changing things. Okay? We'll say it again. But those constructs which don't really exist do not apply to changing things. But there's a state of mind which holds that they do apply to changing things. Okay? It sees non-existent constructs as applying to changing things. All you have to do for that state of mind is say, look, they don't apply. Okay? And then that state of mind has to go away. Okay? If you can demonstrate that that the non-applicability of those non-existent constructs to changing things, then automatically the state of mind which is overrating it and believes that it does see some constructs that actually don't exist atop changing things, then you stop it. Then you stop that change of mind. Then you stop that state of mind. It will go away. It will go away. And that, what do you have to do to reach that stage? What do you have to show it to, for it to understand that? What do you have to show it for it to go away? Just yogin. Emptiness. The emptiness, meaning the non-applicability of non-existent constructs with regard to change.
Generally,
Jetsu Kapa spends a lot of effort, and he goes into great detail, to teach you how to avoid that state of mind that's overrating something, right? The first state of mind. And he doesn't go into that much detail about how to stop or prevent the state of mind which is discounting. So he's putting a lot of effort into showing how to stop the overrating state of mind at this point. He's taking special, remember we said special pains or special care to teach you how to eliminate that particular state of mind.
So
if you want to know why Jetsu Kapa is taking so much pain to teach you how to eliminate or to avoid state of mind which attributes some existence there when there is no existence there, the overrating state of mind. Remember that in order to stop that state of mind or prevent that state of mind, what do you have to show that state of mind? Emptiness, yongdruk, right? You just show it emptiness, you just show it yongdruk, which means the lack of a non-existent construct with reference to that changing thing, right? The lack. So don't forget what Jetsu Kapa's main mission is in this whole book, right? His main mission at this point, what is he trying to do? He's trying to describe to us the mind-only school. And more particularly, he's trying to describe to us the mind-only school's position about the meaning of emptiness. We're trying to get to emptiness. We're trying to demonstrate what emptiness is. We're trying to explore emptiness by seeing how this particular school feels about emptiness. So naturally, he has to spend more time on that state of mind which most relates to emptiness. See, in this case, meaning that state of mind which is prevented or avoided by thinking about emptiness, or by demonstrating emptiness.
What do you mean? How could you get
it? You can make it.
我的他滚的狗蛋送来他滚的狗蛋的书是说不用给他们当他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用给他们送不用 다마다 오마탄지와다 다지 강가로래 다 강다르게 남비 주다마오 강가에 돌아 다시 품목은 이어나 콜라 강사한테 나줘 그래 강사 그냥 여겐 차도래 가 다시 품목은 싸우니니 민두구나 콜라 강사한테 다해요 말이 강사 그냥 몇바 차도 와세 오빼가 붙이니 대꾸 말해 단다 빼꾸니 해는 군대 말래
Now Jethikapa turns to discussing, right, not so much in detail. By the way, later on, he's going to discuss in much, much more detail, and Gesa said in very, 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 very fine detail, how to prevent the state of mind which overrates, right? Because that relates to emptiness. But it's not that he doesn't discuss the state of mind which is what do you call it? Underrated. Discounting the state of mind, okay? He does describe it, and here's how he describes it. First, he takes an example. He takes off by an example. He says, think about it. When you discuss a person like any particular person, right? When you're talking about any particular person, first you take the parts of that person, and then you label it that person, right? So you got to have the parts of the person, and when you discuss or talk about any particular person, first you focus on their parts, and then you label them with that person's name, and then you start talking about the person. That's how you arrive at any particular person, okay? But suppose, and those five parts or five heaps of a person provide the basis, provide the thing to be labeled. They provide the thing to be labeled, and then you label it, and then you can start talking about the person. But suppose we, like, pulled the rug out and took away those five parts of the person. Could you then talk about the person? Or could you then even think about the person in terms of a label, you see? Could you then call them somebody if you just pulled them all out? If you pulled out all the five heaps, threw them out, could you then be talking about such and such a person? Could you then even label them or name them somebody? He says, be careful not to say Lo San Chin Zin 5. Don't translate me as 5 heaps. I didn't say 5 heaps. Okay? We said he. Okay, we said he. And that's important because, like in the formless realm, people don't have bodies, right? So then it's the 4 heaps which provide the basis for the label. It's the 4 heaps which are being labeled. There's no 5. They don't have 5 heaps. They have 4. So Lo San Chin Zin, don't go saying 5 heaps. All I said was heaps. He did the baby, right? Let
me say why.
Can't do that, right? So, suppose you pulled out the heaps, okay, however many there are, then could you have a person there? Could you talk about a person there? But don't you mean in the cause I can catch you singing? That's being pulled out by Jekyll Kappa as an illustration, and now only later is he going to tell us how it relates to what we're talking about. Okay, now here comes the relation to what we're talking about. It's Arya Sangha's wording now when he says when he's getting into the example or the illustration of the heaps. I think he's correcting me in saying it's not just a couple talking right now. These are actual words from Arya Sangha. Then he starts to say, page 40, line 2, he begins to explain stuff. He says, similar to that illustration, okay? Similar to that illustration, if you take all existing phenomena, it actually says here, functional things among all existing phenomena, and if you were to remove them, then let's say if you removed all shenwangs, right? If all the things which change, if all the things which are produced were removed, then there wouldn't be any way in which they could be labeled with constructs. So, I mean, then labels could never be applied to them, constructs could never be applied to them. You couldn't have constructs, and you couldn't have the mind constructing, right? You couldn't have the mind saying, this is called this, or thinking about this like this. There couldn't be any labeling or attributing state of mind, constructing state of mind, if there were no changing things to be labeled. So there wouldn't be any constructs, there wouldn't be any constructing state of mind, if there were no changing things around to be labeled or to have constructs about. In the same way as that other illustration, right? Don't forget the other illustration.
Tell a dog she met the same as you, Dopa, I remember, she is from Tatai, but don't think you have a dog, Meto. Tell a dog she met the same as you, Meto. Dopa, I remember, Juro, she is from the Kako. Then it's time to be able to learn about it. Tell the Borchilas on it. She won't go mena. Call a dog, you couldn't have the only Yamare. Mepa carres and a shawa, met and meba, call a ball game, he dropped a top point in the middle. Yes, and it is done. Shawa, met Lamna, then you couldn't die a message at the one which love was watching. This woman is. Had he met me, can the dinner cut with them make crime of the armor together? Some met some of that thank you.
So if you didn't have Shenlongs, right, you couldn't have the kundaks that related to them, right? If you didn't have changing things to act as a basis, then you couldn't have any constructs about them, and neither could you have any constructing state of mind or any names or labels to make constructs with. And the point here is that, interestingly, there's an extra point here. If you didn't have changing things, then you couldn't have that state of mind anyway, right? Because it's one of the changing things. So it's not just that you couldn't have constructs if there were no basis for the constructs. If there were no basis for the constructs, there'd be no changing things. If there were no changing things, there'd be no mind to think about them that way, and there'd be no words to use to describe the way they, because those are other changing things. So those are one more kind of changing things. Now what we've been getting into is a lot of no's, okay? We're saying, if that didn't exist, then this couldn't exist, okay? If Shenlongs didn't exist, then Kundaks couldn't exist. If you said this didn't exist, then you'd have to say that this doesn't exist. But don't forget that we're not so much talking about, directly, about Shenlongs not existing, right? That's not what the nature of discounting is here, remember? It wasn't that the Uma, that the crossing people were saying, oh, Shenlongs don't exist at all. What were they saying? They were saying those things don't exist ultimately, or those things don't exist by definition, okay? If that gets into the extreme of saying that they don't exist at all, now that I lost it there, no? That me is not the galile, shema me is the giomane, because that kuten umiten giomane, that kun debe gab delia, shema di me is the
giomane,
you know, she me chagre, kun daki she me, ten di me batogre, and the young kun da, di, you know, shema me chagre,
The
point I want to make was this. The actual wording of the Bodhisattva level is not to say that if you thought that changing things didn't exist by definition, right? The actual wording there is, if you thought that changing things didn't exist at all. See what I mean? He doesn't say by definition or ultimately or anything like that. But Jetsun Kapa wants to point out that what they're referring to is if you thought the changing things didn't exist by definition, right? Because we're talking about the Kundev state of mind, which is not holding that changing things don't exist at all. It's holding that changing things don't exist by definition. But so if you were to say the changing things didn't exist by definition, then you would incur these problems. So that's a when Bodhisattva level says if the foundation didn't exist, or if changing things didn't exist, what it's really talking about is if the foundation didn't exist by definition. If the foundation if the name and the thought didn't exist by definition.
What is it? Dini ma yong thara di kum ka go che ta tik chin su dimbat dimbat na thela dir kun ti go thanda dimbat chi shi shi da ma de dimbat thela thela dir kun ti go chong a ke leng ge ni xian de ro ong de me la tik chin di tik di kar che ge ro tana ani di ya jan na tik ta kona chi ko la cha thela dir kun ti go bi chong a ke leng ge tana kun ti go sai chong a ji mi ji phana de xia ho la phana ji xia ho la o ko la
When we are attacking certain groups for their idea about discounting, right? And when the Bodhisattva level is attacking some groups about their ideas about what it is, about their ideas, which are discounting ideas, right? They're discounting tendency. We are not talking about other groups in terms of the normal meaning of other meaning, meaning non-Buddhist groups. Okay, normally when you say in scripture, oh, those other groups, oftentimes it refers to non-Buddhist groups. But in this case, when they refer to, oh, those other guys or those other groups who are discounting, they're not talking about other groups as being non-Buddhist, they're talking about Buddhist groups.
This one? ご視聴ありがとうございました。
Also says, it says here, when Bodhisattva Lovelace is attacking somebody for discounting, right? Discounting what? Discounting some fact about Shenwang, right? About changing things or dependent things. When they attack somebody, first of all, they're not attacking some... The wording here is the other guy, okay? The other guy doesn't refer to some non-Buddhist group, but neither does it refer to the first two Buddhist groups of the four. Okay, neither does it refer to the Vaibhashikas, the detailists, nor does it refer to the sutras. Okay, why not? Because they would never go and point to the thing that got the label of the of thoughts and names, right? The thing that received the label either through thought by saying this is a vase, right, or by labels. You know, giving it the name vase, right? Giving the name vase verbally, or thinking about it as a vase, giving it a name in a sense mentally, right? They wouldn't look at the thing which is called with those names, which is a code word for what? The thing that gets the name, which is a code word for shenwang, right? Meaning changing things or created things, right? They would never look at those things and say about them, oh, they don't exist only. Okay, those two groups would never say that. Those two groups would never look at the things that get the names and the thoughts as being those things and say about those things that they don't exist. Those groups would never say that. Therefore, when we say those guys, we're neither referring to non-Buddhist groups, nor are we referring to the first two of the four Buddhist, the classical groups. Okay? Classical Buddhist
groups.
And you know, who's the people who are accusing other people? By the way, we got it. So far we said the other guys can't be non-Buddhist groups. The other guys can't be the first two groups of classical Indian Buddhism, right? So who are the other guys? You know, who is it? Who are the other guys? Well, we know who's accusing somebody else of being the other guys, right? We know who's accusing somebody of current depping. We know who's accusing somebody else of discounting. That's the mind-only school, right? They are the accusers. Therefore, they can't be the accusees, can they? So, that only leaves one group. And Jetsu Kapa says, dena, meaning, therefore, ergo, okay, it's got to be those guys who say that nothing exists by definition at all. And who's that? Oh, well, that's the Madhyamika Pratipada. Okay, so we've identified who it is that they're criticizing, and they say, hey, you guys are discounting things. Okay? They're talking about the
Madhyamika Pratipada.
You may have heard me use in my you know, as I'm teaching, I keep saying chetang, chetang. Chetang is the colloquialism for tena. Tena means therefore, and that's why. And chetang, chetang, the colloquial means, and that's why, therefore. And you may have heard me say a lot of tena or chetang in this class.
What is it? When you remember my name, so what?
Okay, so those guys, by the way, the point here is not, generally speaking, they are not saying that Shenwang, changing things and all those other stuff, they're not denying that they exist at all. They're not saying, oh, Shenwangs are impossible. Neither are they saying, are they denying that Shenwangs exist nominally. Okay, nominally. So they're not denying that they exist altogether. Neither are they denying that changing things exist nominally. What are they denying? They are denying that they exist ultimately. Okay? They are denying that exist. What they are trying to say in their system is that things exist ultimately.
He
says, let's stop here, you know, we only got 5 minutes, you're sick, you know, you're talking about me, right? Maybe we should stop here and let it rest here, you know, and I said, no, you know, 5 minutes, don't waste 5 minutes, especially if people are leaving, you know, they don't want to waste any time, you know, and he says, oh, you know what, I just remembered something. I had in mind to give you some guys some advice, you know, Dharma study, Dharma life advice, before you left. So I had in my mind that I was going to lay this on you on the last day that you all left, you know, the day before you guys all left, I was going to lay on you some Dharma advice. Now, I could just do it on the last day that everybody else leaves, and then it would only be reported to Elizabeth and Rob by somebody, rather than spoken to them directly. That's not so cool, just to have it reported to you by somebody else. So let me say a few directly this. And Michael will test me. So you guys are leaving, so we got to do it today, okay? And I was thinking to do it later. Maybe I was going to do it around about way. Maybe it wouldn't be comfortable for Michael if I start talking about this stuff. But anyway, we're going to talk about it, okay?
Namaste.
Very, very general advice for you. You know, the subject you're studying right now is like ivory tower stuff. You know, it's way up here. This is the airy heights of the deepest kinds of Buddhist philosophy, you know, and we're floating around up there, we're flying around up there in the top of these towers, and we're discussing these high philosophical concepts. And, you know, that's very good for the intellect part. You need it for the intellect part. You know, you do have to go up to those high, high, lofty places of philosophy and tear apart ideas and think about ideas and understand everything. It's necessary for you to do that. But in your heart, when you're talking about your own Buddhist practice, you have to go down to the common, you know, the lowest common denominator. You have to go down to start at the beginning and build up the structure of this building from the bottom, from the foundation. So, you know, even though intellectually it's good and it's necessary for you to go up and fly among these lofty heights and philosophical questions and stuff, in terms of your own Buddhist practice, in terms of your own heart, you have to go down and start from the beginning in the long way. You start down in the instructions for people of lesser scope. Go down and start with ideas about how to take refuge, what it means to take Buddhist refuge. In your practice, in your personal life, you have to go down to the beginning and start down there, and start from the foundation.
Question
So, you know, if we want to talk about really getting an insight into what emptiness means according to the higher schools of Buddhism, according to the consequence group of the middle way, the Umma Pratigika, right? If you really wanted to get into those and really perceive what it means for something to be emptiness in the highest interpretation, in the highest sense of the word, if you really wanted to see what it was that emptiness meant, and you know, what do I know about that? You know, I'm just, you know, what do I know about emptiness? You know, I mean, I come to think of it, you know, how could I describe that? How could I even talk about it? You know, I mean, anyway, suppose there were somebody who was studying really well, and they wanted to see what the highest meaning of emptiness was. Well, then, if they did study the mind-only school, if you did get into the mind-only school, and if you studied really, really well what they mean by emptiness, in particular, you know, in middle way, we're always talking about everything is a projection. Everything is a construct of the mind. Everything is a projection of the mind. That's a fundamental idea of the highest teachings of Buddhism, you know, that things are a construction of the mind. Things are a projection of the mind. They mean it in a certain sense. But if you go down into the mind-only school and you look into how they describe constructs, that group of things called constructs, as being something which doesn't exist by definition, and in their mind, what that means not to exist by definition. Once you get a clear understanding of what the mind-only school understands by constructs not existing by definition, then can't we say that you're getting closer and closer and closer to understanding what the higher schools of Buddhism say when they say everything is a projection? And when we talk about emptiness or totality in the mind-only frame of, from the mind-only state of mind, right, from the mind-only school, right, state of viewpoint, then when we talked about tashi, then didn't we talk about tashi's emptiness in the following term? The fact that you cannot say about Chashi that Chashi happens. The fact that Chashi is what we call Chashi, the fact that that fact doesn't exist by definition, that condition is what Chashi's emptiness is. Got it? The fact that Chashi is what we call Chashi, the fact that that fact doesn't exist by definition is Chashi's emptiness, right? And then in the higher schools when you get into saying, I'm sorry, and the fact that doesn't exist by definition is Chashi's emptiness. Then when you go up into the higher school, the middle way school, then you say, nothing in the universe exists by definition. Nothing exists by definition. Isn't it true? Can't we say that this mind-only interpretation of what it means not to exist by definition in that case, isn't that getting you closer and closer to understanding what it means when Manimika Prasangika says, nothing exists by definition. Doesn't it seem to you the case that by studying this one you're getting closer, closer, and crossing the threshold into understanding what the middle way school thinks when they say nothing exists by definition?
What do you mean?
And it's also been reported, you know, what do I know? I don't understand anything, but, you know, people say that those great Indian thinkers of old days, you know, the olden times, they studied the mind-only school, they got deep into the mind-only school, they understood everything about the mind-only school, and that served to aid them in their quest to reach tantric realizations. You know, they got closer and closer to tantric realizations by studying the mind-only school. So that's another incredible reason to study the mind-only school. It has been said, what do I know? You know, I can't confirm it, but from my own experience, but it's been said that the great thinkers of ancient India used the deep insights into the mind-only school also to reach up to the realizations of tantric practice itself, so that very, very secret high practice.
There are many things in the world which are called religion, right? The Tibetan word is dharma, right? I mean, chö. I mean, there's lots of things that are called chö, dharma. It's particularly, you know, all over the world there are many, many different practices of religion. Particularly if you define a religion as something which is an attempt to help people, an attempt to help teach people to help each other, and an attempt to help people... If you define religion as an attempt not to hurt other people, okay? I mean, if that's how you define your religion, then we can say that there's a lot of religions in the world, and Buddhism is not the only one, you know? So if you define religion as an attempt to help other people and not to hurt other people, then Buddhism ain't the only religion around, and everything, all those things qualify as religion.
What religion is? That's your name, Karl Sena. Long beach, you can look on here, some of you are. That's your name, Karl.
In general, no matter where you are, in the west or the east, wherever you are, you guys are attempting to be Buddhist. You guys are trying to follow a Buddhist path. To follow a Buddhist path, you have to have a teacher. You guys been on teachers. So I've been sitting here explaining to you all these fine points we've been debating, working back and forth about the meaning of things, and discussing the mind-only school. And if you think about it,
you know, I've been trying to teach you 8 or 9 days, I've been trying to teach you about all these points. But I had to depend on Michael. Couldn't have done it, you know, I'm not just complimenting Michael, but couldn't get it from you directly. There had to be an intermediary in this case, you know. I had to depend on someone else to communicate it to you. So if you look about how is it that Michael was able to do that, you know what I mean? How is it that he was able to act as the intermediary to allow me to communicate this to you? At the beginning, he didn't know a single thing, okay? He didn't know absolutely zero, okay? And then, based on the kindness of his teachers, especially the young, That he learned Tibetan and is able to communicate to you at all. Okay?
Did we? Which kid are you?
He said, I'll bring in somebody else to translate.
Can I answer it? You answer it, Marie. Albert, that much.
John said you can't learn anything without a teacher. The way that Michael studied was the logician's way, to study everything through reasoning. The reason he got to study that well was that he studied it the monastic way, which is that he studied it logically. He got into the reasoning of things, the way we do things, that we rip them apart, we think carefully. And if you do it that way, it's a long story. It's a very deep ocean. It has a very deep bottom. And that's the way he did it. And basically he said that he knows that I did that in addition to my normal workload in my free time.
I'll summarize.
He said he can do it in detail from the tape later. But anyway, he did all his study. I heard he used to come to me and study, and then he used to take tape recordings and go back and sit in the bus, New Jersey Transit bus, and study.
What did it is? Sit in the camera, my uncle, you show me again. What did it is? Can you understand? ちゃんと言ってるのかな。そうするとやがプランに経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経営、経
Translate that for them later.